in their lives. This morning, we are going to be looking once again at the book of Romans. I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12. We started looking at this last week, talking about how that we need to love one another with a love that is authentic, or a love that is genuine. And this morning, we have in this next portion of the passage in Romans 12, a phrase that says that we are to live in harmony with one another. Now, I know that not everyone here is musical, but we do have a lot of musical people in this church. And there are some musical terms that I want us to think about for just a moment this morning. And if you're wondering if Jareen is just up here so that she can pull my chain when it's time to go or something like that, I have asked her to help me for just a moment this morning. And I want her to demonstrate using, are we going to use Amazing Grace? Okay. Using the song Amazing Grace, I want her to demonstrate the concept of what a unison sounds like. Now, unison means one voice, all right? So listen as she plays this. Harmony is when you have more than one tone at, you know, in the song. Not all the voices are singing the same part, but they're singing parts that sound similar or in the same chord sequence. Listen as she plays this in harmony. Now, there's one other idea, a musical idea that I want to share with you this morning. We have unison, we have harmony, but there's a third one that I actually love in music, but it can't stay that way. And that's the idea of a dissonance. See if you can figure out what it is. Does it feel like something else needs to happen? We're about to drive our pianist crazy because we've not yet resolved the chord. Do you hear the dissonance here? You see, anytime you have dissonance, something must resolve. If you're dealing with harmony, John, are you okay back there? If you're dealing with harmony, you know, it's full, it's wonderful, but you know, sometimes dissonance comes. And then if you finally get that resolution, thank you, Dream. When you finally experience that resolution, there's something special that takes place. Well, the same thing is true in our lives today. When we learn to live in harmony, sometimes dissonance is going to come. Because we're not all doing the same thing. We're not all living the same way. We're not all, you know, thinking the same things. But we've got to figure out a way to make that harmony that becomes dissonance finally come to a resolution. Our mission statement is to connect people to God, unite people to one another, and to equip people to be on mission. Right now, we're in the middle of a sermon series about this concept of uniting people to one another. And as we work to unite people to one another, That work will be accomplished when we learn to do a few things. Number one, we've got to learn to love one another. Not with hypocritical love, but with genuine, authentic love. We talked a lot about that last week. This morning, we're going to talk about what it means to live in harmony with one another. And some of the other ideas that I believe we've got to learn in order to truly unite people to one another are these ideas that, like submitting to one another. Nobody likes to submit. Everybody likes to have their own free will and do whatever they want to do. But the fact is to live together in unity, we've got to learn to submit to one another, to bear one another's burdens, to encourage one another, to speak truth to one another. You know, getting along with people is not always just acquiescing to whatever. Getting along with people sometimes requires us to speak hard things into someone's life because it's the right thing to do. People need to hear truth. But that's why Paul tempered that statement when he said, "Speak the truth in love." We've got to learn to speak truth to one another. And we've got to learn how to respect one another. All of these things are things that must happen if we ever want to truly experience what our mission statement is when we say we want to unite to one another. Well, last week we did talk about what it means to love one another with an authentic love. And we studied from this passage in Romans chapter 12. And we talked about the kind of love that we must have. And if you remember, we talked about the fact that love must be authentic. Brotherly love must be evident. Honor must be extravagant. In other words, we must outdo one another in honor. We must be persistent in our prayer lives. And we must be compassionate to those who are in need. Well, today we're going to continue to study this next section of Scripture in Romans 12. And verse 16 tells us to live in harmony with one another. And if you're like me, this idea of living in harmony with one another sounds really good, but the implementation of it tends to be lacking in your life. I want to live in harmony with everyone, but my selfish, sinful nature often gets in the way. So as I read the passage as a whole, not just verse 16 that says live in harmony with one another, as I look at all of this passage in verses 14 through 18, what I see here are several attributes that are defined here as a means to begin the process of being conformed to the image of God's Son. We find several characteristics here that will help us to live in harmony with one another. And so quickly this morning, I want to take just a few minutes of your time and share with you how you can begin this process of learning how to live with one another in harmony rather than in dissonance. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to read with me from Romans 12, starting in 14. If you do not, the words to the scripture will be on the screen and you can read along with us there. Romans 12, 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." This morning, I want us to look at five simple things that may appear to be simple in this time where we're talking together, but often prove to be very difficult in our lives. But five ways that we can learn to live in harmony with one another. The first thing that we notice is that if we want to live in harmony with one another, we need to be a blessing to others. Be a blessing. Verse 14 says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Bless. So what does it mean to be a blessing to others? How can we be a blessing to others? Well, plain and simply put, folks, we all know what it feels like to be blessed, don't we? Are you awake this morning? I mean, I've only been going a couple minutes and it's already seeming like you might be drifting off. Do you know what it feels like when you're blessed by someone? Do you know what it feels like when you're not being blessed by someone? Which of those things do you most often do in your personal life? Are you a blessing to people in your life? Or, for lack of a better term, are you a jerk more often than you're a blessing? You know, there are a lot of people in the world today that just feel like it is their God-given right to treat others poorly. And you know, I guess, yeah, you have the freedom to treat people however you want. But if you want to live a life that brings honor and glory to God, a life where you are being conformed into the image of God's Son, then more often than not, you need to bless people with your life rather than bringing them frustration or fear or anger or whatever else, other negative emotions that might come out of their response to you. You need to be a blessing. A good place to start would be by stop being a jerk. Stop acting like a jerk. You know, too often, that kind of behavior is just condoned in our culture. You know what it feels like when someone blesses you. You need to spend the time trying to figure out how to make the others that you deal with feel that same way. Bless them. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. So number one, how do we live in harmony with one another? We be a blessing. Number two, we must be sensitive. Notice what it says in verse 15. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." Rejoice if someone's rejoicing, weep if someone's weeping. To me, this screams a simple concept of be sensitive to the feelings of those people around you. It's that simple. You know, if you you may be having a terrible day, but someone has some great news, do you respond to them, "Well, that's great"? Or do you get excited about it? You should get excited about it. If someone's rejoicing, rejoice with them. Be happy with them. But if someone is mourning, grieving, weeping over a situation, is it an appropriate time to tell a joke? Probably not. Is it an appropriate time to act stupid with your friend? Probably not. The time to weep is there because they are weeping. It's just a matter of being sensitive to the needs of those around you. When we live in harmony with one another, it doesn't mean that we have to feel everything that everyone else feels, but I do think we should be empathetic, not just sympathetic. We must walk with them through their joys and through with them through their sorrows. To whom should we show sympathy and compassion? Are there people that we shouldn't show sympathy and compassion toward?
No.
A lot of times we we put people in different tiers in our life. That's T-I-E-R-S, not T-E-A-R-S. Different levels in our lives. And so if they're in that closest inner circle, then we're going to be sensitive to their needs. But you know what? If they're out on the fringe of our life, then I don't care how they feel. That is oftentimes the way people respond. But we must be sensitive. We must be empathetic to everyone that we come in contact with. You know, there have been a few times in my life when I was at a restaurant and was getting less than stellar service. Has that ever happened to you? Okay. A few times. You know, a lot of times, especially in that situation where we are paying someone to serve us, and, you know, I mean, that's what tip means, to ensure promptness, right? But the fact of the matter is that there are times when that server has a whole lot more important things on his or her mind than your food. And the way that you treat them in that moment speaks volumes about how conformed we truly are to the image of God's Son. We must be sensitive. Now, I must be honest, this isn't something that I do always. It is something I have seen others do, and I have done it a few times. But have you ever asked your server, as they're walking up to your table, have you ever asked your server, hey, we're just about to pray as a family, and wondered if you might have some prayer concerns? Is there something that you would like for us to pray for you over? Some will say, get away from me, freak, you know. But then there are others who say, well, no, but thank you for asking. But you know what? Then there are sometimes others that will just stand there as much as they can and just pour their heart out to you and tell you about all that's going on in their life. Are you sensitive to that? Sometimes they will stand there and let you pray with them. Sometimes they won't. But I guess the point of this is, if we want to live in harmony with one another, we've got to get the focus off of all of our own stuff and realize that other people are going through stuff too. It's that simple. Be sensitive when they're rejoicing. Be sensitive when they are weeping. We must be sensitive. So how do we live in harmony with one another? Number one, we must be a blessing. Number two, we must be sensitive. Number three, we must be humble. Oh, Paul continues to bring this up in his letters, and I just wish he'd stop it already, you know? Over and over again, he talks about how humility must be our mindset. We must not be haughty. We must not... not think too much of ourselves. We must not think too much of the way we think. Be not wise in our own eyes, he says here in Romans 12:16. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Be humble. I love what one teacher that I was listening to, how they defined the idea of humility. You know, there are those people in the world that are very proud of how humble they are. Have you met those people? They will be the first to tell you how humble they are. That's not true humility. But then on the other side of things, there are those people who are so self-degrading, they're deprecating, that's the word. They put themselves down so much. Let's just go with simple words this morning. They put themselves down so much that that's not healthy either, I guess is the point. So on one side, you have these people who think they are completely everything God's gift to mankind. On the other side, you have those who are self-deprecating. And then somewhere in the middle, you find these people who say they're humble, but they're really not. They're taking pride in their humility. The teacher that I was referring to once said this, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking of yourself less. How often do our needs, our wants, our desires, how often do those things pop up first in our mind compared to how often we think of the needs and wants and desires of others? Why is it important to be humble? Why is it important to be humble? You know, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but we're kind of asking some questions here in each one of these areas. You know, how can we be a blessing? To whom should we be sensitive? So as we look at this one, why is it important to be humble? Is there anyone that you know personally that has great issues with pride that is the person that you want to spend the most time with? Somebody you know that's a very proud person. Arrogant is maybe a better word. Is there anyone you know that is an arrogant person that you just want to spend all the time in the world with that person? I'm assuming that would be a no. Okay? Why? Why do you not want to spend time with someone who's arrogant? Well, the list could go on and on and on, but the simple short answer is because they think they're better than me. They think they're better than everybody else. They make me feel bad about myself. That's a few short answers. So why should we be humble? So that we're not coming across that way to others. So that when people see us, they want to spend time with us. You say, well, Brother Wade, does that really matter in the whole scheme of things? Well, let me refer back to Matthew 5 that says to let your light so shine before men so that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. If someone looks at your life and they only see you, they don't see the good things that you do. They don't see God and Him being glorified in your life. Then you're not living the life that God wants you to live, plain and simply. And if you are proud and you're arrogant, you for sure will not live in harmony with one another. You will be that dissonant chord. We must be humble. Be a blessing. Be sensitive, be humble. And fourthly, how do we live in harmony with one another? We must be forgiving. We must be forgiving. Notice it says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. We must be forgiving. Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. In this concept of doing what is honorable in the sight of all, we've got to learn how to see things from other people's perspectives. Usually when we ought to forgive someone, usually when we ought to apologize for something, We don't want to do that because we think we're right and we think they are wrong, right? I mean, it's that simple. I'm right, you're wrong, you need to apologize to me, not the other way around. But if we give thought to what to do what is honorable in the sight of all, from every person's perspective, then we're learning to look at things from the perspectives of others. And it's not until you learn to look at things from someone else's point of view are you able to truly live in harmony with one another. We want to get vengeance. We want to get payback for what somebody has done, right? That's more normal. We want to get payback, but instead, what God's saying is try to see things from their perspective. There's an old saying I've shared with you several times before, and that saying is, perception is reality. Perception is reality. The simple fact of the matter is whatever you perceive about me, whatever it is, it might be true, it might not be true, but whatever your perception is, that is the reality in your mind. And, you know, I could have the opinion that, well, that's your problem, not mine. But if my goal is to impact your life in a positive way for the cause of Jesus Christ, then it is my problem. Your perception of me is a problem. That's why it's so important to be humble. That's why it's so important to be forgiving. So what things must I be willing to forgive? Yes, is a good answer to that question. Folks, you've probably all heard of the unpardonable sin, right? What is the unpardonable sin? I would posit that there is no such thing as an unpardonable sin unless you count one and only one, and that is the sin of unbelief. Because only through unbelief do you not receive forgiveness of sins. So, in our perspective, in our point of view, what sins against us should we consider unpardonable? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. There is nothing that you can do to me that I should not be willing to forgive you for. Now that's hard. Because the simple fact is that there's a lot of things you could do to me that I would not want to forgive you for. And there are a lot of things I could do to you, or say to you, or say about you, that you could look at me and say, "Preacher, I'll never forgive you for that." What does unforgiveness do in the heart and the life of a believer? It blocks everything. It eats away like cancer. It eats away at your soul. And you know what? You may have something against me that I have done to you that you have been frustrated with, and it's just been bothering you for weeks, months, years. There is a potential that that is the case. And I can assure you of one thing. I know nothing about it. The only person it's bothering is you. If I knew about it, I would have already come and talked to you about it. It's that simple. So you think, well, you ought to know. Well, I don't. So if you have a problem with me, or if you have a problem with someone else, you cannot assume that they know that there's a problem. And the only person that unforgiveness is causing a problem for is the person who has an unforgiving spirit. That's why it's so important here that we be forgiving. Be willing to forgive whatever the offense. We must be forgiving. The fifth and last thing that we're going to look at this morning is found in verse 18. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. How do we live in harmony with one another? We must be responsible. Now, this has nothing to do with whether or not you pay your bills, okay? We're not talking about that kind of responsibility. What we're talking about is taking upon yourself the responsibility to make things right with whomever you are dealing with. We are responsible. We have a responsibility. The onus is upon us. I love saying that. If you don't know what it means, it's a good word. The onus is upon us. We have that responsibility to live right. As much as it depends upon me, I cannot make someone get along with me. I cannot make them. But as much as it depends upon me, I must do everything in my power to show honor and respect. Be humble in their presence. You see all these things that we've been talking about here? Being a blessing to them, being a person of humility, being sensitive to their needs, be forgiving if they offend you, or be contrite if you have offended them. All of these things can be summed up and say, we are responsible for the relationships we have with one another. If I have a problem with you, I need to come to you and make it right. If you have a problem with me, I have to go to you and ask to reconcile, to resolve the issue. Anything less is dissonance in the body. You don't have to think like me. If Keith Landis was here, he would have said amen. But Missy's homesick, so he went home to be with her. You don't have to think like me. In fact, it's better if you don't. But we must be in harmony with one another. We must be able to make beautiful music, if you will, in the church and in our lives together. So far as it depends upon me, I must live peaceably with all. Where am I responsible to live like this? I am to do everything possible to live in peace with everyone in every situation of my life. If I'm at odds with someone, I've got to do whatever it takes to make it right. Period. So this morning we've looked at the how, the who, the why, the what, the where. What am I missing out of my six interrogative questions? When? We've looked at everything else, but we haven't talked about when. And folks, this is the crux. Because it's something we always want to just put off. I'll do that later. If you have a problem with someone today, if there is a reason that you are unable to live in harmony with someone today, it needs to be taken care of. It needs to be resolved today. Plain and simple. I know you couldn't see this, but a few minutes ago when Jereen was up here and she was holding that dissonant chord. Was it an F chord, Jereen? FCA? But you had a D in it? Well, I think F7 chord with also the D in it. If you're not a music person, that doesn't mean anything to you. But what I want to tell you is this. There were a few musicians in this room that were struggling to sit in their chair because it was bothering them that that note, that cord was being held on. Folks, we can't let dissonance continue indefinitely. We've got to bring resolution to the issue. We've got to learn to live in harmony by being a blessing, being sensitive to others, being humble and forgiving, and taking the responsibility to do, as so far as it depends upon me, to do everything I can to live peaceably with everyone. You are here this morning, and I know that you have issues with people in your life. And the reason I know that you have issues with people in your life is because you are breathing. It's that simple. I want to encourage you to take this time that we're about to spend in prayer and reflection, singing a song in just a moment. I want you to take some time and I want you to think about, what is it that God is calling me to do? How am I going to do it? To whom am I going to do it? Why should I do it? What am I going to do? Where am I going to do it? But most of all, when? And resolve in your heart to make that resolution today. It may be that there's somebody across the aisle from you, or a couple rows back or a couple rows forward, that you have a problem with, or you know they have a problem with you. Maybe you need to go to that person and just simply say to them, I love you. I'm sorry that we don't seem to get along the way we ought to. Please forgive me for my attitude in that process. I don't know what God's put on your heart today, but I do know that everybody here has problems with somebody. God's called us to live in harmony with each other. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this time together, and I thank you for the opportunity to teach your word this morning. And Father, I pray that your spirit will convict us of our sin, of pride and sin, of an unforgiving spirit. And Father, that you would just work in and through us this morning in such a way to bring resolution to the relationships that we have in our lives. Father, I just pray that this will be a momentous time in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name.